Chapter 28 tonight, Exodus chapter 28. This is our Old Testament book we're studying through. We've come to Exodus chapter 28 and verse number 30. Exodus chapter 28, verse 30. Preaching a message tonight that I'm sure you've heard probably 1,000 sermons on. The Urim and the Thummim. Have you ever heard a message on that? Would you raise your hand? Some of you probably have, right? Yes, there's two of you. May the Lord help you. Exodus chapter 28, verse 30. Beautiful thing about studying through a book of the Bible. Brother Keith Kaiser, what a dear man of God. I miss him terribly. Taught me to put messages together and finding the key center and all these kind of things. And he would tell us, he'd say, young men, preach through books of the Bible. Let God speak. You'll preach on things that you will not choose for yourself. If the Lord just allowed me to make a decision tonight and this week about what passage I'm going to preach on, I can about guarantee you it would not be Exodus 28, verse 30. But there's a great thought here. And may the Lord help us to understand this. Exodus 28, verse 30. Thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim. There's my title, the Urim and the Thummim. And they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord, and Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. We will not get any further than this verse tonight. I'm preaching to you on the Urim and the Thummim. In context, remember, as we study through this, we're right in the middle right here of this chapter of the garments, if you will, of the high priest. The high priest by the name of Aaron, and God is saying, giving another thing here that he wanted to be part of Aaron's clothing, and it's the Urim and the Thummim. Let's pray together and we'll share this with you. Our Lord, thank you for this service. Speak to our hearts. Help me, Lord, to get across the message that you've laid on my heart here tonight. And may as we leave this evening, may we take something with us that'll change our lives. Show us the truth that you're trying to get across here. And may we never get away from it, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue with our study through this book, we've come to a part of the high priest attire that we can all glean from. It's the attire known as the Urim and the Thummim. Now, is that how you pronounce it? I don't know. Who cares, right? The interpretation of this and the definition of it is it means lights and perfections. That's what it means. This is mentioned elsewhere in the Word of God, Numbers 27, 21. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. At his word shall they go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. Deuteronomy 33, 8, and of Levi he said, Let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massah, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah. In 1 Samuel 28, verse 6, when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Ezra chapter 2, verse 63, and the Tirshatha said unto them that they should not eat of the most holy things till there stood up a priest with Urim and with Thummim. Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 65, and the Tirshatha said unto them that they should not eat of the most holy things again till there stood up a priest with Urim and with Thummim. One in Ezra, one in Nehemiah, basically the same thing. Leviticus 8, 8, and he put the breastplate upon him. Also he put in the breastplate the Urim and the Thummim. Now it's reported that the breastplate was made of linen folded to form a pocket in which the Urim and the Thummim were placed inside. There is disagreement as to exactly what the Urim and Thummim were. And I echo what J. Vernon McGee said. Are you ready for this deep thought tonight? Here it is. I'm going to tell you a secret. I'm quoting from J. Vernon McGee. I'm going to tell you a secret. I don't want you to tell anyone. I do not know what the Urim and Thummim were. I have read books by about 25 different authors and have discovered that they don't know either. Amen. The interesting thing is that they had something to do with determining the will of God. Now, just how, I don't know, he's saying. Some people think the Urim and Thummim were dice, but I don't believe it. I don't believe that either. Whatever they were, they determined the will of God. God has kept the details obscure for a very good reason. Some nut would try to produce a Urim and Thummim today and would claim that it would give us all the answers. And I say amen to that too, you know. We have a lot of people around today trying to give us the answers without the Urim and Thummim. God wants us to go to Him for the answers. The point is, we're not really sure what the Urim and Thummim were, but we are sure of what the main purpose was, and that main purpose was to somehow, some way, help the high priest to know the will of God. That's what it was used for. They were the means by which the high priest might find answers from the Lord. When a problem was presented to the high priest, he laid it before God in prayer, and the Lord would reveal His will through the Urim and through the Thummim. Therefore, we learn from the Urim and Thummim the importance of finding the will of God. Let me say this, I'm still introducing this. Today, we don't need the Urim and Thummim, because we have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God to lead us into the will of God. One man said this, and I quote, "When information was needed and sought, the possession of these objects, the Urim and Thummim, indicated that the high priest had special authority to approach God for an answer." Do you understand what he's saying? He's saying back in this day in the Old Testament, whoever had the Urim and Thummim, they had the authority to approach God and say, "God, what is your will in this?" May I say this to you? We don't need the Urim and Thummim, because there was only one high priest in the Old Testament. But today, all of God's children are high priests, which means that we own, if you will, the indwelling Holy Spirit. He lives inside of us, and we, because we have the Holy Spirit of God, have the authority to go to God and ask Him what His will is in any given situation. In this message tonight, we're going to focus our attention not on explaining the Urim and Thummim. Nobody can do that. Nobody can. But we're going to spend our time on the importance of finding the will of God and how we find it today. The Urim and Thummim helped them find it in the Old Testament. And since there's no more need for that, because the Holy Spirit of God has been given and we are now priests in the sight of God, how can we find God's will today? I've learned something that's helped me in my life. I've learned that in every area of life, I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. If it's marriage, if it's music, if it's salvation, if it's standards, if it's parenthood, if it's work, if it's attitude, if it's actions, if it's words, if it's lifestyle, if it's choices, you name it, makes no difference what it is. There is one, now get this, there's one decision to make over and over in life. And that one decision is this: what is God's will in this? What does God want here? You know what I'm glad of tonight? I'm glad that God has a will in everything. That means that life has been simplified. That doesn't mean it's simple to find the will of God, but He simplified life. I remember somebody saying, it was a preacher, it might have been Dr. Clarence Sexton or I think it was Curtis Hudson, who said, you know, life can come at you like this. Look at all these things. What are you going to do about all this? He said, life's not about all of this. He said, don't look at life like this. Look at life like that. What's the one thing God wants you to do? May I say this to you? Finding the will of God is the greatest thing in this life. Now, how do you find it? How do you find the answer to what does God want me to do? What is God's will? You know, it's time we stop doing what we feel is right. And it's time we stop doing what we think is right. It's time we start saying, I will, to the will of God. Since this is so important, I want to bring out several things, several ways tonight to find the will of God. How do you find it? Because this is the major lesson from the Urim and Thummim. It's not a lesson where you're going to say, well, turn there, let me explain what it was, let me tell you what it looked like. No, friends, it's not in the Bible. You're not going to find it. And today we don't need it anyway, but it teaches us the lesson that God wants man to know his will. That's what the Urim and Thummim teach us. How do you find it today? Let me give you several things. Number one, how do you find the will of God today? Number one, mark it down now. First of all, the Word of God. The Bible says in Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Friends, the first place to look to find the will of God is the Word of God. That's the first place to look. The Word of God and the will of God never contradict one another. If the Word of God clearly says something, that is the will of God, no questions asked. If God's Word gives the answer, don't pray about it. You don't have to. Friends, somebody says this, well, I think I need to pray about going soul winning. You don't have to pray about that because Mark 16, 15 is still in the Bible. Matthew 28, 18 to 20 still in the Bible. Acts 1, 8 still in the Bible. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. See, when God says something clearly, you don't have to pray about it. Young people, listen to me. If you're ever tempted to date and marry a non-believer, are you listening to me? You don't have to pray about that decision. Because the Word of God says, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That's what God's Word says. Now, friends, you need to help me out tonight, okay? Don't just sit there like a knot on a log, all right? Help me out a little bit. I'll amen myself if I have to. I'm simply telling you tonight that if God's Word says it, that settles it. That's the will of Almighty God. So the first place to go today to find God's will is the Word of God. What does the Bible say about this? One morning in the 1620s in the little village church, a preacher by the name of John Rogers was preaching on the subject of the Bible in the Christian's life. He allowed himself some pulpit dramatics. So first he acted the part of God, telling the congregation, say, well, I've trusted you so long with my Bible, you've slighted it. It lies in such and such houses, all covered with dust and cobwebs. You care not to listen to it. Do you use my Bible so? Then you shall have my Bible no longer. And he went down, they had a pulpit Bible, you see, and he took the pulpit Bible away. Then he knelt down and impersonated the people, crying out to God and said, Lord, whatever thou dost to us, take not thy Bible from us. Spare us thy Bible. Then he acted like God again and say you so? Well, I will try you a while longer. Here is my Bible for you. And he put the Bible back in its place. I will see how you will use it, whether you will love it, observe it, practice it, live more according to it. At this, the whole congregation dissolved in tears. The Holy Spirit of God was working that particular service because what had happened? The preacher under God had touched a nerve, reminding the congregation of their need to pay close attention to the Bible because reverence for God meant reverence for Scripture. And service for God meant obeying Scripture. Do we need to recapture some of the same attitude today? Surely disregarding the Bible is the greatest possible insult to its divine author. Let me ask you a question. If you went home and your Bibles were gone, and somebody came in here and took your Bible out of your lap right now, and you realize that's the last time that you would ever see a Bible on planet Earth, would it bother you? Would it disturb you that you no longer have a copy of the Word of God? Concerning the Bible, it's been said, read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It's the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, the Christian's character. Here paradise is restored, heaven opened, the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, our good, its design, the glory of God, its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, prayerfully. It's a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, a river of pleasure. Follow its precepts and it'll lead you to Calvary, to the empty tomb, to a resurrected life in Christ. Yes, to glory itself for eternity. It's the Word of God. And the first place we go to find the will of God is the Word of God. Secondly, a second place to find the will of God is not only the Word of God, but number two, the peace of God. The peace of God. The Bible says in Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Now, let me say this to you. There are many areas of life where you cannot turn to scripture and verse and it says, thou shalt do that. Don't you wish every area was covered like that? You ever had an area in your life or something in your life where you say, God, just write it in the sky for me, please? Maybe that's never happened with you. I mean, wouldn't it be wonderful if whatever it is, Lord, you want me to buy that house? Turn to Job chapter 2, verse 5. Yes, buy it. I'm behind you. Go on, boy. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Amen. But he's not made it that way. He's made certain things that way. I mean, he's specific about certain things, and he's got Bible principles that govern everything. And one of those Bible principles is this: if you don't have peace, you better hold on. Friends, listen to me now. In these situations, the peace of God, by the way, I can't explain it. If you've ever had it, you know you can't explain it either, okay? The peace of God moves God's children along like a bit in a horse's mouth, and a rudder on a ship steers and guides the horse and ship along. A good question to ask about finding God's will when you can't turn to scripture and verse and there it is specifically is ask this question: do I have God's peace in this? Do I really have God's peace? By the way, how do you get God's peace? That's a logical question, right? Philippians 4, 6, and 7 gives us the answer. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, this second point I'm trying to get across is that God reveals His will in response to prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. He starts giving peace about what His will is. Friends, isn't the peace of God a wonderful thing? You ever had it? You ever had it about something? I mean, God ever just given you peace like, yes, this is me, son. And there's just a calmness where you don't know what the future holds, but you're just at peace. This is one way that God reveals His will. Which means if you've not prayed about it, you can't trust yourself. Well, I just feel good about this. Question: have you prayed about it? Have you truly supplicated with God over it? And are you with thanksgiving thanking Him while you're doing it? Do you realize the devil is a great counterfeit? And so is your flesh. If you go all the time, well, this just feels right, you're going to make a mess out of your life. You cannot go by what feels right in your flesh, but you can go with what God gives you peace about in your heart and soul. This is number two. Number three. Number one, the Word of God. Number two, the peace of God. Number three, the glory of God. Let me explain this. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Matthew 6, 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Let me explain what I'm trying to get across here. Another way to find the will of God, when the Word of God is not clear and give you a clear answer on that topic, another way to find it is to realize we are ambassadors for Christ. Therefore, we represent Him. That's what an ambassador is. It's a representative. An American ambassador represents the president of the United States of America, represents the people of the United States of America, and represents the place of America. And when God says we are ambassadors for Christ, what an exalted privilege. That means that we represent Him. Therefore, in everything we do, we are giving a picture that this is what He would do. This is where He would go. This is what He would listen to. This is how He would dress. This is how He would speak to her. This is how He would work at the office. This is how He would treat his mate. This is how He would raise his children. Get where I'm going with this? What I'm saying to you is this: before you make a decision and you don't know what to do, by the way, if you don't know what to do, don't do anything. Stay put until God shows you clearly. But if you're searching for the will of God, one of the major principles to follow is, if I do this, will this truly glorify God? Will this truly give an accurate picture of who Jesus is? Hey, you take any area of your life. It's time we stop making decisions based on ourselves and base them rather on a right and true representation of Jesus Christ and His glory. Would doing this bring glory to God? Would going there bring glory to God? Would saying that bring glory to God? Would watching that bring glory to God? Would listening to that bring glory to God? Would Jesus go there? Would Jesus say that? Would Jesus wear that? Would He watch that? Would He listen to that? This is the point I'm trying to get across. Make sure in your decisions that the glory of God is your top priority. Not your comfort. Not these other things. I'm telling you, when you don't know what God's will is and you're searching for it and you've gone to the Word of God, it's not clear on it. If it is clear, that's the will of God. Stop praying. That's it. Do it. But if you can't go to the Word of God on that particular thing, should I buy that house? Should I buy that car? Should I take that job? Should I move away? Should I go there? Should I go to that place? Should I do that? Those kind of things. One of the things you need to do is pray. Beg God. And say, God, give me peace. Show me what you want me to do. Give me peace one way or the other. And then make sure that what you're doing or getting ready to do is for the glory of God. If you do this, is it truly something that Jesus would do if He's making that decision? Let me ask you a question. Do you think just that thought right there, the glory of God, representing Him right, doing what He would do, saying what He would say, do you not think that that would change our lives? Do you not think that that would change marriages and attitudes and churches? Sure, sure. The glory of God. Let me give you two more. Is that all I have? Two more? Two more. Let me give you two more ways to find the will of God. It all has to do with God. It's His will. He's going to have to reveal it, right? Then go to His Word, the Word of God, the peace of God, the glory of God. Number four, the desires from God. Let me explain this. This has helped me, okay? Psalm 37 verse 4 says this: delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I'm going to explain that in a moment. Philippians 2:13, it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You know what God does in His children's life who truly delight themselves in Him? Delight thyself also in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. You know what that means? I do not agree with some people who say what it means is that if you delight in Him, He's going to give you anything you want. Hogwash. Trash. But here's what I do believe it means. I believe if you delight yourself in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart. He will put in you to want to do what he wants you to do. Don't you see what I'm saying? He will give you his desires. May I say this to you? That's why if you're searching for the will of God, one of the greatest things you can do is not try to find it, but just delight in God. Just stay close to God. Just read his word. Stay faithful to him. Make sure every area of your life is where it needs to be. If you're not faithful to church, get faithful to church. That's delighting in God. If you're not reading the Bible every day, start reading the Bible every day. Start delighting in God. Get as close to God as you can. Hunger after God. Desire his will. Do you want God's will? Let me ask you a question. Do you really want God's will? If you really want his will, you'll prove it by getting as close to him as you possibly can. And then he will start putting in you what he wants you to do. May I say this to you? The devil has caused many to swallow a lie. And that lie is God's will is going to make you miserable. I mean, he's just out to get you and just to feed you to some cannibal somewhere, somehow. You better run from him. It'll be the worst thing ever in your life. That's a bunch of poppycock, whatever that is. Amen. What I'm saying to you tonight is that God, when we delight in him, God gives us his desire for our life. He gives it to us. Let me use my own personal experience here, because it's hard for me to use your experience, okay? When I was growing up and had a desire to play Major League Baseball, by the way, that's the only pro sport that I could have gone, because basketball, look at me. Come on, friends. Football, they'd have stepped on me, you know what I mean? Baseball, you can still be small and play a little bit. I had a dream to be a Major League Baseball player. That's what I desired to do. That was my heart's craving. I'm talking about as a kid, I dreamed about it. I mean, that was my dream. When I signed to play baseball in college, in my senior high school year, after I'd graduated from high school already, I'd signed the contract to play. And that summer, I went to a youth conference, and it was at that youth conference that I felt God calling me to preach. You say, how do you know he called you? I just desired to do it. I just knew God wants me to do that. He was planting something in my heart. Hey, if you're a young man, not a young woman, a young man who's desiring to preach, that's not coming from the devil, amen. You delight yourself in God, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Went to play baseball for 1 year. And listen, friends, I love that game. I love that sport. But I can tell you that when it came to the critical time to make a decision, at that critical moment, he took the desire for baseball away from me and gave me an overwhelming desire to preach. I can't explain it. I'm just saying, as a teenager, 18, 19 years old, however old I was, God, I was reading the Bible, I was praying for these road ball trips and so on. My teammates would have me preach to them in the motel rooms. They wanted me to preach to them. God was feeding that, you see. And at that moment, when I needed to make a decision, God gave me his desire for me. May I say this to you? You cannot trust your flesh. But if you're delighting in God and you truly want his will, you desire his will, whatever it is, he will put in you what he wants for you. Do you get it? Do you understand that? He will take the desire away from what's not his will and give you the desire for what is his will. He just has a way to do it, friends. I hope I'm not confusing you. It's time to realize that God's not trying to make his will unappealing. He's not trying to make us miserable. We just need to truly delight in Him, and He'll give us the desires that He has for us. May I say this to you? I wouldn't trade what I'm doing for anybody else on planet Earth. I wouldn't. That's the truth. I'm having the time of my life, even preaching on the Urim and Thummim. I'm having the time of my life. Let me tell you why. Because I'm doing the will of God. And He gave me the desire to do it. I desire to preach. I desire to study. I desire this. I crave this. It's my life. You telling me the devil's doing that? Hey, let me give him a desire to preach, tell people about Jesus. Go ahead there, boy. No. It comes from God. Let me give you a fifth thing and we'll close. The Word of God, the peace of God, the glory of God, the desires from God, and we close with this, the direction of God. Now, let me explain this. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy paths. Psalm 143, 10. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Now, God wants to direct His children into His will. Amen? He does. He's not playing a game. He's not trying to hide from you. No. He wants to reveal His will to you. He wants to be in front leading us. Let me give you a couple of ways the Lord can direct us other than peace. Now, may I say this? The peace of God needs to be there. The Word of God does not need to be contradicted. The glory of God needs to be top priority. The desires of God, if it's truly His will, should be there and in place. This doesn't trump this. It just adds to it, in other words. Understand what I just said to you? You cannot make your decisions based on what I'm getting ready to give to you alone. You can't do it. It just adds up. In other words, okay, if it's truly of God, the Word of God's behind it, the glory of God, I mean, that's it. I've got peace about this. I've got a desire to do it. Then God can use some other things to help confirm it, okay? To direct you. This is me. This is me. Number one under this, He can use circumstances. The Lord is truly in control of life. He really is. And while we must be careful not to base our decisions completely on just on circumstances, the Lord can bring about circumstances in our lives to direct us into His will. For instance, He is great at opening doors that no man can open. And He's also great at closing doors that no man can close. You understand this? If it's God's will, God's going to open the door. That doesn't mean the devil's not going to put some obstruction in front of it. You understand? I'm not saying it's going to be a cakewalk. I mean, you're not going to have any opposition. Ask the Apostle Paul that, friends. The will of God's going to have opposition. But friends, God has His way of opening a door where you know only God can do that. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? He can also close a door. May I say this to you? Take this right, because I'm talking about myself. We're dumb. We're dumb creatures. You understand what I'm saying to you when I say that? I'm saying if God doesn't help us out, we're going to trip all over ourselves. And sometimes He says, wait a minute, He's getting ready to go in the wrong door. Slam! And He slams the door. Sometimes He uses circumstances to do this. He's not going to give you a desire to do something that He doesn't make it possible to do it, is what I'm trying to say. He has a way of opening and closing doors to direct His kids. The problem is many times we're like this man in this following story. He said, I'm going on a diet. I'm giving up donuts. But the next day He shows up with a big box of them. His co-worker said, wait, we thought you swore off donuts. He said, well, it was God's will that I get these donuts. You see, before I left for work, I drove by the donut shop. That place is always packed. It's hard to find a parking place. So I said, Lord, if there's a parking place right in front of the door, then I'll know it's Your will for me to get some donuts. He said, you know, I only had to drive around the block 10 times to find a parking place like that. Now, I'm not talking about those circumstances. That's somebody trying to knock the door down themselves. While we need the Holy Ghost discernment to recognize if God is directing through circumstance, you do. You need to make sure it's not the devil using your circumstances. Make sure it's God leading you in circumstances. Only the Holy Ghost can give you that discernment. the point still remains that he can use circumstances. He can do that. It's not top on the list, it's on the bottom. You understand? If your circumstances line up with the rest of this list, the Word of God, the peace of God, and so on, he could very well be leading you through circumstances. The problem is many put circumstances first on this list instead of last. You understand that, right? Let me give you a second way that he directs his people. He directs them through circumstances, and then secondly, he directs them through counsel. Counsel. Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, their safety. Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Proverbs 20:18, every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. In other words, don't go to war without having some good advice, okay? Proverbs 24:6, for by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war. And in multitude of counselors there is safety. You know another way the Lord helps you discern the will of God is to get godly counsel. In other words, go to people who love God and love His precious word, who's going to give it to you straight. And friends, in the multitude of counsel like that, there truly is safety. See, one of the problems is people either do not get godly counsel. They'll go to those who are going to tell them what they want to hear. Now, I believe God's leading me to do this. I don't really know. I'm not prayed about it, but I'm going to go to somebody that I know is just going to tell me exactly what I want to hear. Come on, friends. You ought to go to people that you know want God's best for you and is willing to look at you and say, I don't think you ought to do that. You ought to go to people like that. And not just one, in the multitude of counsel there is safety. What I'm saying to you, one of the good things that you can do to find God's will is to seek out godly counsel and lay out the situation to them and say, what do you think? God has His way. If you're trying to discern, is this God, is it not? Is the circumstances favorable? Is that God, all this? I think I've got peace. I'm just not sure about it. I mean, it's not contradicting the Scripture to do this, whatever the case may be. Yes, it would be for the glory of God. Is God leading me in this? Go to some godly counselors, friends. God put them there for this. And ask them, what do you think? And when they start saying that, it'll be amazing if God's truly in something. He'll tell those counselors the same thing. He will. So go to godly counsel. The will of God is what our lives are all about. The Lord has a will for all of our lives, all of it. How important is the will of God in your life? The Urim and the Thummim stresses the importance of going to God to find His will and doing it. Let us heed this lesson. So I ask you in closing, have you surrendered to the will of God? No matter what it is. Are you delighting in the Lord where He can put in you the desires He has for you? Are you searching for God's will? Then I'm advising you tonight, does God's word answer your question? If not, do you have God's peace? Will it truly glorify God? Has God put that desire in your heart because you're delighting in Him? Do the circumstances line up for it? And do the godly counselors agree with it? Now, friends, listen to me. If you'll follow that, the Word of God, the peace of God, I'm talking about the glory of God. It doesn't contradict Scripture. Here's what the Scripture says about it. I've got peace with God. It's going to glorify God. God's put a desire in me. He knows I just want to do His will. I'm delighting in Him and He's putting it in me to do this. The circumstances are lining up for this. And the godly counselors are agreeing and saying, yes, I agree, I think you ought to do this. And friends, that's a pretty good indication that you're doing the will of God. The Urim and the Thummim. Somebody says, what is it? Look them right in the eyeball and say, I don't know. but I know why it existed. It existed to help find the will of God. And now God's given us so many other things from the Spirit of God to help me find the will of God. I want to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our Father, we thank you that you have a will in everything. And I pray that you help us to understand the importance of finding it. Help us to trust you, to believe you, to obey you, and to truly discern the will of God. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly as soon as they get prepared. Just play through very softly if you wouldn't mind. Have you said yes to the will of God in the matter of salvation? Has there been a time where you've trusted Jesus Christ and Christ alone? Do you know the Lord? Are you born again? You say, Jody, is it God's will for me to be saved? Here's what the Word of God says. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. His will is that the world be saved, and that means you. Have you been saved? Have you know that you're a born-again child of God? Would you raise your hand? You know you're saved. You know you're on your way to heaven. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Is there one tonight say, Jody, I cannot raise my hand saying, I am saved, I'm born again. I cannot raise my hand to that, but I truly desire to. I really do. I have a desire to be saved. I have a desire to go to heaven. And I want to make Christ my Savior. I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. I wouldn't embarrass you for anything in the world. But if that's you tonight and you say, pray for me, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Is there anybody like that? God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hand down. If that's what God's speaking to you about, then that's God speaking to you, because the devil's not going to encourage somebody to be saved. That's not coming from the devil. That's coming from God. You raised your hand to that, I'd like you to ask, if you wouldn't mind, just so it's a little bit more personal, if you wouldn't mind to lift your head and look at me just a moment, would you do that? I want you to know you're among friends. You are. There was a day when I would have to raise my hand too. There was a day when I would be the one looking up. Thank God I'm now a believer in Jesus Christ. The Lord loves you, and He's brought you here tonight to tell you that. We want to encourage you. Can't force this on you. We want to encourage you to make this decision tonight. It's not joining this church, not doing anything. You can't join this church tonight. This is you and God. I want to encourage you to do the right thing. I appreciate you responding like this. God bless you. We want to help you. We really, really do. I hope you understand that. I believe you know the one sitting beside of you, and you don't have to do this, but if in just a moment I'm going to ask you to come so we can take a man with a man and share the gospel with you, and if you'd like somebody to come with you, I know he'd be happy to do that. That's up to you, okay? And if you come, we want to take a Bible and share with you the gospel. I hope you'll do it. I hope you'll do it. Please, please. Have you tonight say, Jody, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. There's an area in my life where I'm seeking the will of God. And when God laid this message on your heart, He had me in mind. Because He knows I'm searching for this. He knows that this is what I want. I want His will. And God is using this message in my life. And would you pray with me that I'll truly find what He wants me to do? Have you're dealing with something like that, would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. Yes. That's several of you, a lot of you. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Thank you. Hey, why don't you come momentarily whenever Brother Gary begins to sing? That helps others come. Why don't you get on your face and ask God to help you, give you peace about the right thing, show you what truly glorifies Him, give you the desire to do what He wants you to do, to delight in Him and go forward. May the will of God be done. I'm just going to ask Brother Gary just to start singing. We're not going to stand tonight. The Lord is leading you to come. As they come, you come now. Would you do that, please?
I want to do thy will.
Come on, there's some people.
Thy will,
you need to be saved tonight. Tonight is the night. Come on. Let Let us talk to you.
I want to do.
Let us help you.
Thy will.
Let us help you. Time for you. Come on.
I want to do.
The Lord wants you to come. Will you come?
I will.
Oh, just keep singing, Brother Gary. That's very appropriate. Just keep singing that.
I want to do.
Well, I hope you want to do the will of God.
Lord,
come on. Talk to the Lord about
I want
it.
To do
Let us help you.
I want to do thy will, O Lord.
Let's sing that one more time, Brother Gary. If nobody else comes, we'll be through.
I want to do thy will, O Lord. I want to do thy will, O Lord.
Playing through softly. If you're going to be participating in the shut-in ministry meeting, let me go ahead and dismiss all of you now, if you wouldn't mind, to go to the chapel. I hope many of you will be staying for this. You go ahead and get out of your seat and go on to that meeting. If you're going to the shut-in ministry meeting tonight, over to the chapel, please. All the shut-in ministry meeting people, over in the chapel. That's a blessing. Praise the Lord. Next week, we'll be having a meeting for the nursing home ministry. I'm sure many of you will be wanting to stay for that as well. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's all stand together, please, and we'll be dismissed in prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Gary, if you wouldn't mind, to lead us in prayer, sir.
Lord, we thank you for your word, the revealed will of God. And Lord, we confess to you tonight that we want to do your will. God, give us the will and the power to do what you'd have us to do this week. And Lord, often I think we think of the will of God as a life calling or a major decision in life, but really it's many small decisions. And this week we're going to make many decisions. And I pray that you'd help us to know the mind of God. Help us to have the power, the spiritual power to do the will of God. And Lord, we pray that you would use us and enable us this week, all throughout the week, enable our church family to do the will of God, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.